Hello, and welcome to the Mail Report on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Chris Marshall of the Click of Comics Library.
In this episode, we'll be discussing the top 300 graphic novels and collected editions sold through Diamond to retailers for the month. The numbers we're going to be talking about are for the top 300 trades as sold through Diamond to retailers for April 2010. As usual, let's start out with kind of the breakdown of the top 300. And, you know, it's interesting because this time around, Marvel and DC combined account for a little over 37% of the new items on the list. But they account for just over 51.75% of the total unit sales for the top 300 and 58.84% of the total dollars between Marvel and DC. So we're starting to get to where we almost have a 50-50 split between Marvel and DC and everybody else. Now, personally, I think that's kind of good for the industry. I don't know if Marvel and DC would agree with that because they're probably thinking a little more, you know, self-centeredly, as any company should. DC took the top slot in terms of the breakdown. They had 30 new items, 48 reorder items for a total of 78 items, and they had 27.66% of the total unit sales and 30.02% of the dollars. So under a third, still pretty good though. Marvel came in not too far behind that, with 42 new items, 14 reorder items, for a total of 56 items, for 24.09% of the total units, and 28.82% of the dollars for the top 300 trades. So, I mean, pretty much neck and neck for those. DC, unsurprisingly, edging out on top. They just have the stronger backlist. Now, last month we talked about how Marvel just dominated with like 50 or some odd essentials on the list. This time we only have one essential on the list, and you had forwarded me that email you'd gotten from Scott Vander...
Yes.
Vander Ploeg. I'm going to mispronounce his last name, and forgive me, Scott. Thank you so much for sending us the email. Basically, what Scott did is he shot us an email basically very clearly documenting how Marvel had offered the essentials at 85% off in March for the items that were going out of print.
I totally missed that, and I think you did too.
Well, it's not that I missed it. It was a retailer-only email.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's I'm not a retailer. I don't have that. So thank you very much, Scott, for sending us that. And let's think about that. 85% off. If a retailer thinks they might be able to sell one, they're going to order one, as well they should. So it totally makes sense, particularly adding to the these are going out of print, grab them while you can message that came along with that high discount. You know, Marvel was very much trying to push sales. And
well, they got it, that's for sure.
Oh, totally, totally. I don't fault Marvel for doing that, but frankly, it kind of reeks a little of, I don't want to say scare tactics, but when they're basically saying, hey, get them because we're going to take them out of print for a while, you know, and are a little nebulous on that, it's get them while the getting's good. Add to that again a 85% off fire sale, essentially. You know, it's no surprise the essentials did so well last time. But as expected, that was a one-time only sort of a thing, and the essentials are down to just the one for this month. Out of the other publishers making up the breakdown this time around, of which there were 36, Dark Horse and Image did all right, as did Viz. From there, Oni, IDW, and Tokyo Pop, one or two others, did not too bad. And then a lot of them are doing, you know, fractions of a percent, because a lot of them only have one item on the list. Two publishers I found kind of interesting this month in terms of the breakdown. Dynamite Entertainment had five items on the list. All five were reorder. And Red 5 Comics had only one item, and it, too, was reorder. So you got two publishers that didn't come out with any new trades and show up on the list. And Dynamite actually placed reasonably well, beating out other publishers such as Cartoon Books, Fantagraphics, Random House, Ape, Archie, Radical, stuff like that. So, you know, and I believe all five of those were The Boys. And it goes to show that if you've got something that's a strong backlist item, that can really pay off over time. Anything else you want to talk about on the...
Well, just about Dynamite, you know, they're going to... I think they're poised to take off really well in the next 6 months, the next 12 months, to even the next 18 months, because it looks like the Green Hornet stuff they've got is going to really take off in sales. And with the movie coming up, and, you know, they got like six titles, and granted, all of them, some of them are miniseries, but, you know, they're making a push, and then they just bought the Chaos Comics line, John. You probably read that.
Yeah, I read about that.
So they're going to put a bunch of stuff out and, you know, classic trade paperback, the, you know, whether you like it or not, the Evil Ernie stuff, it's coming, and people will buy it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I mean, personally, I don't care for it, but it does tend to do decently, so mm-hmm. I think Dynamite is the next publisher that may try to make a play for getting in the front half of previews.
Yeah, I think so, too. And they should. Why shouldn't they?
Oh, certainly they should. Yeah. They've got the lineup to back it up. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got a lot of licensed properties. They've got a lot of original properties. And they produce good, solid stuff on a routine basis.
And they got good artists and writers working on it, too.
Yeah.
That's part of it. So
I mean, they've been around long enough to show they're not a fly-by-night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I say that, but frankly, they haven't been around any longer than, say, Valiant was before they flew by night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, Valiant, CrossGen, there are a couple that unfortunately show that even if a company's been around 4, 5, 6 years, doing pretty well, that's no guarantee they'll be around next month. I certainly don't think that's the case with Dynamite. I expect they're going to be here for the long haul. And, you know, if they continue to do the quality material they're doing, I think the market's going to react well to it.
Yeah, I think Nick knows what he's doing. You know, he's an interesting guy, but he knows what he's got a good head on his shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, everything from the superpower stuff to, you know, the Boys. I mean, picking up The Boys, that was just a smart move.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so I'd like to see them continue to do well. Anything else on the breakdowns, or shall we move to the top three?
No, I think we're good, yeah.
Okay, why don't you start us off with the top-ranked item?
The top-ranked item, well, it's absolutely no surprise, is it, that it's Kick-Ass. I'm not surprised. We talked about it last month, and here it is again. You know, I mean, just look at the units sold. I mean, 26,612.
And
I mean,
that's just total units.
Total, yeah.
It only
just blew it away.
Yeah.
Blew everybody out of the water.
Well, yeah, the 10,218 it did just this month is highly impressive if that were first month's sales. And this is the third month it's been out.
Right.
It ranked number 2 back in February. It was the top-ranked item last month. And it was the top-ranked item this month by a wide margin, almost outselling the second and third-ranked items. Not quite, but almost. So for it to have racked up 26,612 estimated units in the 3 months, again, not really surprising. And it's stuff like this that make me think things like Nemesis and, you know, some other stuff by Miller and stuff has a lot of potential sales-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could also argue that War Hero stuff that came out many, many moons ago from Image, you know, were it to ever get completed, might actually sell well in a trade.
Right.
But, you know, let's not go crazy here. You got to finish the thing first. So, again, 10,000-plus units in a given month, I think, is phenomenal sales. For a new release, I think it's outstanding, you know, just amazing sales for something that's been out for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
The question really comes down to, you know, and actually this is a combination of strong property, name creator, and a movie coming out for it at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, how long is this momentum going to sustain, and is it going to start dropping off? Is this potentially going to be an evergreen for Marvel? You know, time will tell. And frankly, mm-hmm. I could see it really going either way.
Right, right.
You know, will the novelty wear off or not? Okay, next up in rank 2, we've got Batman and Robin, Deluxe Hardcover Volume 1, Batman Reborn. This did 6,442 estimated units, which is pretty good, but given all the hype around this title and, you know, the anticipation for it and stuff, It could have done better. I mean, I'm not saying it did badly, but it's one of those things where it didn't knock the doors, really off anything at this point. If we hadn't had, again, the movie coming out for the previous item and stuff, and this had been the top ranked item, which, it could have been, it would have been a low top ranked item. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is there was a lot of buzz behind Batman and Robin, putting Grayson as Batman, Damian as Robin, a big push on that, a lot of talk about it, it selling decently on the monthly side. And while these are not bad sales on the collected edition side, there are so many other titles that, again, a Walking Dead, Fables, things of that nature that when they come out routinely do significantly better than this. So, I could see where conceivably some of the people at DC might be a little underwhelmed by this, but, I'm not sure what they had expected.
Well, I was just surprised when it was first solicited that it came out as one of those deluxe books when, the deluxe line was kind of slated for like the Vertigo stuff or something a little more classic, in line. But, this one was like the first really, modern ongoing series that is a deluxe edition. So you wonder how long they're going to keep it up, probably for a good long time, but
I don't know because I mean, when they did I mean, you look at the genesis of the collected editions as we know them today. It used to be back in the day there were none. Then you got things like the Great Darkness Saga, the Judas Contract, and the pivotal big storylines from years past. Okay, and then you got to where trades were starting to be a bit more regular. And then when that novelty wore off, it's okay, let's do a hardcover. When that novelty wore off, we've gotten to where they will do the premier hardcover. And really, that's only been in the last couple of years. And I'm starting to wonder what are they going to do when that novelty wears off? Because frankly, I mean, I'm not sure I could pick out on a shelf a hardcover versus a premier hardcover without necessarily standing them side by side and saying, "Well, this one's a little bigger, a little nicer," or even maybe then I might not be able to. Now, granted, I'm not a connoisseur of collected editions such as somebody like yourself, but it just seems to be kind of a hair-splitting exercise as to what's premier and what's not sometimes. And again, this, you're right, seemed like an interesting choice for them to go that route. Now, next item on the list is Flash Rebirth in Rank 3. That, too, is a hardcover, but not a premier. It did 4,405 units, which, again, big splash when this came out on the comic side. It did really well. 4,400 units, not bad, but not really, an oh my gosh, wow, this is a smash success kind of a thing either. It'll be interesting to see how the collected edition of the first story arc for the Flash title they've just started up does. Because have you been reading that?
No, I haven't. I read Rebirth. Yeah, I did re but not the current series.
I've been enjoying the current series.
That's what I heard, yeah.
They've done a very interesting twist with the Rogues, and I think it's got a lot of potential, and I want to see where it goes. So, I could see its first collected edition doing pretty well too. But again, I would expect a little bit better than how some of this is doing, because that first issue of The Flash did over 100,000, and as I recall, The Flash Rebirth was up in that basic area. So for it to be doing 4,400 in the trade, or in this case, the hardcover side, a little lackluster. But I think even though we're seeing a kind of an increase over time, more or less, on the trade side versus a general decrease overall on the comic side, I think we're seeing individual titles starting to flatten out on both. So, those are the only three things that did over 4,000 units, and again, we only had two that did over 5,000. At rank number four, we've got BPRD Volume 12, War on Frogs, trade paperback, did 3,791 units. That's down about 100 units, 106, from the total loan sales of the previous volume. That equates to about a 2.72% drop, but I mean, really, that's fairly stable. And I don't think is any big surprise. BPRD has been around for ages and will continue to be. I was a little surprised when I saw this next item on the list in rank 5, which is Ultimate Comics Wolverine vs. Hulk trade paperback. I mean, I knew it was going to get collected. It's just one of those that it had such a delay of like 3 years between issues 2 and 3.
Maybe even more. Yeah, exactly. It took forever to come out.
And this did 3,268 units, which is not too bad, but higher than I would have expected. And it's one of those that didn't this finish up like a year or so back?
I think so. No, I think it just finished recently, didn't it? Like in January?
I've been picking it up on. I picked it up on the monthly side, and I was surprised to see it because I'd already forgotten about it.
Okay. No, you could be right.
No, you could be right, too. Maybe it just was that forgettable of a series for me. I mean, it completely lost momentum for me with a couple-year gap between it. Next up, we've got Crossed Volume 1 from Avatar. This is the trade paperback at $24.99. It did 3,265 units. Now, what's interesting about this is if you jump down to rank 200, at $32.99 cover price, we've got the hardcover version. And it did 482 units. Now, both of these came out on April 28th, so same day of release. And again, it shows a fairly big discrepancy between, you know, people who want the trade and who want the hardcover, or at least what the retailers are saying on that. Now, where do you kind of weigh in on, do you think people are leaning more towards the trade, the hardcover, whichever comes first, whichever's cheaper? What's your theory on that?
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of having certain titles come out in hardcover and softcover on the same day. I kind of like that, given, you know, you put it out there with a lot of advance notice and people can make the choice. Dark Horse does it all the time with their Conan series, and I think their Solomon Kane stuff too. But I know, and DC did it a few months ago with Wonder Woman. But I think with Cross, I think it's a pretty good idea. And, you know, obviously it looks like the hardcover won out, didn't it? I mean, people really, or the trade paperback, won out.
The trade paperback by a wide margin.
Which is really no surprise, you know.
Well, I'm wondering is if it cuts into their double dipping.
Yeah.
Because at this point, there are some people who got the collected edition because they skipped the monthly, I assume. There's some who got it because they got the monthly and they liked it. But those who would have gotten one versus the other and then swapped out for the other when it came out a couple of years later or whatever didn't have to make that choice. So, you know, I question if this cuts into the potential for double dipping and if the hardcover might have done better either if it had come first or if it had come later and these trade paperbacks had moved through the system and therefore were a little harder to find. And if somebody wanted a copy new, they'd have to, you know, take what was available at the store. So, don't know. It's a question, and it's one that I don't think there is necessarily a right or wrong answer.
Right, I agree.
But it's certainly interesting to see the different publishers' strategies on how they release, what comes first, what the delay is between. Let's see, jumping down a little bit, we've got the Star Wars Invasion Volume 1 Refugees from Dark Horse at rank number 9, trade paperback doing 2,964 units. Dark Horse is in the process of kind of rotating through or swapping out their titles. They've ended Knights of the Old Republic and Legacy.
Right.
Maybe one other, and I think they're starting up some new ones soon. And we'll see how that strategy
works. Well, they're going to do another Knights, but it's going to be like a couple hundred years from where they left off kind of thing. So they're going to advance it forward quite a bit.
And that makes sense because it allows them to kind of move the universe around, change the status quo considerably.
Well, and that's kind of like the MO of the Knights line. You know, it started out, you know, 5,000 years ago, then they jumped up to 4,000 years ago. And now they're up to like 2,000 years ago. I mean, they're getting closer and closer, and there's a lot of gaps to be filled.
Well, that's good, because sooner or later they're probably going to want to go back and fill some of those, because otherwise it'll be Knights of the New Republic.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Or Knights of the Future Republic.
You know, it's disappointing they're ending Legacy, but You know, it may be kind of good to take a break from that for a little bit and come back and revisit it in 5 years.
Well,
And
that had Jan Dresema on the art and
right.
Ostrander on the writing for the entire 50-issue run.
Yeah.
And on Knights of the Old Republic, John Jackson Miller was the writer for the entire time. I think they had one or two, maybe a few different art teams over the 50 issues. But the fact that they're able to keep that kind of consistently, certainly on the writing side, and did a fairly good job, obviously, on Legacy with the art. I mean, that's phenomenal. You don't see those kinds of runs that often, and it gives it kind of a strong creative vision.
Right. I thought it was a tight series. I mean, I think all the Star Wars are tight series. They're great.
They're doing a good job with that license, and while it's sad to see some of these titles go, it's kind of cool to see them exploring different corners of the Star Wars, narrative universe, both in terms of timeline and location and stuff. And I think that's not a bad move at all.
Right, I agree.
And at rank 10, we got Marvel Zombies 4 trade paperback, and that did 2,891 units. And they've started up Marvel Zombies 5. I think I've read the first two issues of that. So these zombies show no end in sight. So.
I sold all my hardcovers on eBay just recently, actually.
Did you make money on them?
I did, including the Dead Days and the Dynamite crossover one. Yeah.
Cool.
So they're gone. I read them all and I'm like, I'm gonna get this while the getting's good kind of thing.
I can
And
understand that.
I did. And then it's funny because right after I did it, I think they solicited number five or five came out, and I'm like, I'm not gonna wait around for it. So
Yeah.
you can find everything of this in trade paperback too. A lot of people think they gotta jump on the hardcovers. And I know we talk about if you want to get it, you should go get it. But just the being at like the Motor City Convention and C2E2 a few weeks ago, boy, they're out there. The Marvel trades they're pretty easy to find. It's the other companies that are hard to find.
Yeah. Well, I think some of them, like with the Marvel and with some of the DC titles, people get them, they read them, and they get back into the market. Whereas I think with some of the independent stuff, once people get a hold of some of these things, they just hang on to them. And I certainly don't fault them for that. Jumping down a little at rank 16, I found this one pretty interesting. It's Power Girl, A New Beginning trade paperback. At 2,494 units. And what gets me with that is that's actually, I think, strong starting numbers for trade paperback for a new series. And it's unfortunate they're swapping out the creative team on that book because it's one that I think could have kind of, lasted for a while. I'm skimming through the comic side and as of issue 11 on the monthly side, it was still doing over 20,000 units. But the first couple, I mean, the thing started at 47,321 units on the first issue. By issue 4, it was still doing over 32,106 units. So it did fairly well over there, and it's good to see it getting some traction on the trade paperback side. Because so often a lot of these things come out and they're down in the 1,000 or under range. But this at least implies, on average, a store had a pretty good chance of getting a copy. Now, another one that I thought did pretty well, and we talked about it, I think, briefly last month, because I think we'd just gotten copies, was Crisis on Multiple Earths Volume 5 trade paperback.
I did not get my copy yet.
You didn't?
No, not yet. Nope.
I guess I had just gotten mine when we had talked last month.
I have this on. No, I have this coming from my May shipment, I think.
Ah,
I
got it.
think that's what it is. Yeah. I have it coming though.
I love the JLA JSA crossovers. This had some of the ones from right around the time I was really starting to get into some of that stuff. I did 2,422 units. Again, it's going to be interesting to see where they go in another couple of volumes, if they just end it, or if they kind of branch out into kind of post-Crisis on Infinite Earths crossovers. And yeah, I'd like to see them do that. And again, I'd like to see them touch on some more of the Earth 2 stuff. All-Star Squadron, Infinity Inc. I think there's a definite interest in that, particularly given the JSA and JSA All-Stars titles going
Oh,
on.
I agree. I think they should do those next. Absolutely.
So hopefully they will. Let's see. Jumping down a little bit further at rank 21, we got Random Acts of Violence graphic novel from Image, this being the top-selling Image trade this month. And it did 2,386 units, and it's also interesting because its price was only $6.99.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how much do you know about this, and how many pages was this?
You know, that is a good, let me look that up real quick, see if I can find some stuff on it. But yeah, that's an odd price for a comic book, don't you think?
Well, for a trade, yeah. I mean, to me, it's low enough that it could have arguably, depending on the page count, been on the comic side.
Right.
And for me, anything 80 pages or less probably ought to have been on the comic side for the most part. But that's a kind of a gray area, and there's definitely room for interpretation.
Oh, this was Splatterman graphic novel. That's the also known as Splatterman. Yeah, for $6.99. That's all I know on it, coming out on April 28th. Yeah.
Okay. It was one that had slipped beneath
my
radar.
Not much there, sorry.
Huh?
Not much there, sorry.
No, it's okay. You had more than I did. I didn't even have solicitation information at hand on it. At rank 27, Showcase presents Dial H for Hero. Did 2,121 units, and that seems pretty good for a showcase.
Mm-hmm.
And this was at $9.99, a $9.99 cover price. I've been a huge fan of Dial H since they were doing stuff back in Adventure Comics during its kind of last year as a comic book before it flipped over to Digest format. I've actually got the component issues of this, but have not had time to read them. And at some point, Bob and I may actually do a back issue spotlight on these. But
how many, if they were to do all these in showcases, how many volumes would they do
of Dial H?
Dial H? Yeah,
that covered the entire run in House of Mystery.
Right.
They've got, I'm going to say, 10 issues or so of Adventure Comics.
Okay.
Then it went to a backup feature in New Adventures of Superboy, which I would say if they were going to do a showcase, they would probably toss all those in with the ones from Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
They could easily fill out a showcase with that.
One more, you think?
Yeah, because that would be the Chris King, I think it was Nicky Grant or whatever era. And then after that, it was, it was more, I don't say modern stuff, but Superboy and the Ravers.
Okay.
The H-Dial showed up in Legion of Superheroes or Legionnaires or one of those. But really, they'd have enough to do another Dial H showcase,
okay.
I think.
Huh.
Be cool if they did.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, this one sold well enough at $10 where they could do another $10 one. You know, why not?
Yeah, yeah. I'd have to see how many issues it was in the New Adventures of Superboy. And again, it was a backup feature there, so it was probably an 8-page feature.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, depending how long it lasted there, and I'm thinking it lasted for a year or two easily, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
They would certainly have enough for a slim showcase, possibly enough for, I don't know, maybe not a full-length showcase.
Mm-hmm.
Because those tend to be like 500 pages. I can't imagine they've got that much.
It'd right.
Probably still be a slim one. Anyways, it'd be cool if they did that. And you're right, the sales here I think are worth at least them considering that.
Yeah, exactly.
A couple of ranks further down, rank 31, we've got The Essential for this month. It was Essential Iron Man Volume 4. It did 1,875 units. Again, not too bad, but we're talking maybe every other store got a copy on average. So if you've got your local store and it had three copies, that means there are a couple of stores that definitely didn't get any. couple of volumes of Scott Pilgrim showed up on the list this time around. It ranks 12, 35, 60, 75, and 106. So we got the first five volumes kind of scattered around, with the first volume doing the best up at rank 12 with 2,751 units.
Mm-hmm. I've never read any Scott Pilgrim.
Neither have I. I actually have not read all that much from Oni, just in general.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're a good publisher. They've been around for a while. They just tend not to do stuff that, gets me excited when I'm going through previews.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend not to order it, tend not to read it as a result.
Did you read the Queen and Country definitive books?
I have those. I have not had time to read them.
Those are really good. You'd like those.
Rucka is a great writer. So
oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm sure
And
I
that
would love
series,
those.
you know, when I was buying them when they as they came out, and I'll tell you what, once I was done with one book, I couldn't wait for the next book. It's like it's that good, you know. It's like reading, you know, a little movie, and you can't wait for the sequel.
Well,
And
Rucka, when he's on a roll, is just an amazing writer.
it's good stuff. It really is.
Have you read his Wonder Woman run?
No, I'd like to though. Yeah.
He takes Wonder Woman and puts her as literally an ambassador with embassies, a support staff, and does almost a West Wing-ish take on Wonder Woman. And there was an issue where she's getting interviewed by Lois Lane, and there's some stuff that's kind of the off the record, what do you think about Clark type stuff or whatever. It was really he did some amazing stuff with that character. So he's a great writer.
Well, he knows how to write for women,
Yeah.
you know, and that's all he really does. I mean, look at him on Batwoman, you know, and everything else. I mean, he really knows. He does better with women than he does with men, without a doubt. So he really makes those strong characters.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Now, one that I found a little interesting, at rank 76, we've got the Official Handbook of the Marvel Universe, A to Z, Volume 13, Premier Hardcover. Say, trying that one time fast or slow. It did 1,272 units, not too bad. What got me was that was actually up about 91 units from the previous volume. And this is something, particularly this far into the run, I would have expected to have fairly steady sales. So the fact it did a little bit of an uptick, actually to the tune of about 7.71%, I found a little surprising. Now, jumping down to rank 99, from Boom Studios, we've got The Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck Volume 2 hardcover. Did 1,043 units. That's down about 77 copies from the total known sales of that first volume. Now, given that previous hardcovers have been done by, was it Graffiti? I think it was
It
Graffiti.
was a gemstone.
A Gemstone, you're right. Not too surprised that these didn't do a little bit higher. I hadn't gotten the Gemstone one, so I bought both of these, and at some point I'll get around to reading them. I'm still getting the Scrooge McDuck comic as it's coming out every month. Still.
Don Rosa was just in town on Saturday
Cool.
at the Motor City Con. Yeah.
Have you been
He had a
reading any of the
No, I haven't. I'm not that into the Disney. Yeah, I know it's good, but I just can't get into it.
Have you tried though?
Yeah, I've
Okay,
tried. No,
okay.
absolutely.
You've
Yeah.
tried, I'll stop.
Yeah.
I hadn't really given it a chance up until the Boom series. And, you know, I've got an uncle who'd just been, you know, crazy about it as a kid and stuff like that. And so, you know, I knew it'd be good, but what gets me is they really pack in a lot of story in each issue. So, and of course, Don Rosa is a master craftsman. I think there's a lot about storytelling a lot of modern comic creators could learn by going through some of these older issues. So, now also from Boom at rank 101, we've got Irredeemable Volume 1 trade paperback. We've got 1,030 issues or 1,030 units of reorder activity, putting the total known sales around 10,631 units for this first volume. And if we go down to rank 266, we've got some reorder activity for the second volume of Irredeemable. Only 367 additional units, but that puts that at 5,909 total known reported estimated units sold. So Irredeemable's doing pretty good for Boom, and I think it's the potential of being a evergreen for them, you know.
When did Incorruptible come out?
Incorruptible started.
Oh, there it is. It came out in May.
Yeah, I was gonna
It
say.
just came out. So we're going to see that on the list in a month or two, you
Yeah.
know. Yeah.
And the two complement each other nicely while still being independent titles. So it'll be interesting to kind of see where all of that goes and really how long Mark Waid can kind of keep that stuff running.
Right.
You know, I think if he's of a mind to, he could keep it going for quite some time and do some fun stuff with it. Now, at rank 103, we've got Hotwire Volume 1, Requiem for the Dead, a trade paperback from Radical. This is a $14.95 cover price. It did 1,024 units. This had just some amazing art and story by Steve Pugh. Definitely think that this is one based on the quality, could do better, and hopefully will do well over time for Radical. And given kind of their low profile, 1,000 units isn't too bad.
Right. But that company really came out of the gate 2, 3 years ago, and now it's kind of like waned a little bit.
I don't really think so. I think they've
Don't
got
think so?
more or less the same amount of material coming out. I think it's still more or less the same quality. It's one that because they're doing different stuff, I mean, they're doing things like, a Hotwire, which is kind of a supernatural sci-fi mix. Don't see that too often. You've got things like Aladdin, Hercules, and things that are kind of more mythical. Shrapnel, which is heavy sci-fi. These are things that, by and large, you're not seeing much from DC, Marvel, Dark Horse, Image, most of the other publishers. And add to that kind of the painted style, the very cinematic on paper kind of a feel to it, and I think there are a lot of people who that's not how they, what they see as a comic book, if you know what I mean. So there's a little bit of a I don't say neither fish nor fowl, but jarring up against expectations for some people. And they really I think if they had started with something like Aladdin or something a bit more, I don't say mainstream or approachable, but their initial picks of Caliber and Hercules, while I really enjoyed them, were not something that really set the initial sales level for the company all that well. On the comic side, I think those the first issues did pretty well because they were dollar issues, but then when they went to the full $2.99 cover price for those, the amount spent by the retailers stayed the same, which meant the units dropped to about a third. And it's one of those that I think they've had a hard time, I don't say positioning themselves, because they do a decent job marketing, but they don't have, I think, quite the name recognition yet within the comic buying community. And I think they're flying under a lot of people's radar. Now, once they get some movies out with their material, we'll see what happens then. I
Yeah,
think
they're supposed to be doing the Hercules movie or something like that.
Hercules, Caliber, they've got like half their properties, if not more, in production or pre-production. And I think they're doing some good stuff, but I also think a lot of people have either written it off or just haven't tried it. I really enjoy what they're doing. So, I mean, the one to me that really dropped off was Red 5.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The one item they've got on the list this month is the first Atomic Robo trade paperback, and it's brilliant stuff. It's really fun. They came out pretty strong. They were doing that. They had what else did they? They had Neozoic. They had Abyss. They had two or three other things they were doing
Yeah,
as
what happened to
miniseries.
Abyss? That was a pretty good series, I
It
recall.
was a miniseries. They completed the first one and don't know if they'll get to another.
Huh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to do another series for Neozoic, but I don't know if I don't know what happened. They seem to lose their footing there for a little bit. I don't know if they just I mean, I've got to imagine they've got, other things they're doing with their time, a full-time job, part-time job, or whatever, but because I don't think their sales are so through the roof to be making them, fat, dumb, and happy, living high on the hog or whatever. But I think they came out a little too strong early in terms of the number of titles they were doing, and it's too rough of a market for that. Pretty much everything they did up until Afterburn pretty much clicked really well with both Bob and I. After that, they were still doing good stuff, but it got to be a little less frequently in terms of output. And now these days, we're still getting Atomic Robo and stuff, but it's not like I'm getting a Red 5 comic, every week or much less. It's sometimes not even every month, just because they've cut back on their production. And I'm not entirely sure why that is. I think they're doing good stuff. I think they pick good properties by and large. But again, it's just a rough market. Now, this time around, it was kind of interesting looking at the price breakdown. There were 40 items at the $9.99 cover price. That accounted for about 13% of the list. About 20% of the list, or 61 items, was at $14.99, and another 14 plus percent was at, or 43 items was at $19.99. So I think what we're really seeing is that the price for a lot of these items, we're not seeing the big ticket items as often, and we're seeing a lot of things at the lower prices.
Did you see that DC raised their prices to $3.99?
I've been avoiding such news as much as I can.
Yeah,
no, I didn't see that, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah, you'll. I'm sure you'll look it up and hear about it tomorrow. It just kind of came across, I think, either yesterday or today, as you know. But yeah, I mean, and ultimately that means the trades are probably going to go up by a buck or two.
Oh, more than that, I think. At least three or four.
They're just going to go up, which is too bad, you know.
Well, it's one of those things that I think we're seeing a clear trend here on, you know, what's in the top 300 on the trade side being lower priced items, and that there's a certain value consciousness or price awareness with readers these days. And gee, go figure, you know, economy's doing better, but it's still not gangbusters.
Right.
And I think just the economic slump we've been in and arguably may still be in got a lot of people really thinking about their purchases more. And that's never good for people selling stuff to have people think, gee, should I really buy this or not?
I've cut way back personally. I mean, way, way back.
I really got to think that DC moving to $3.99 as a price point, are they adding backup features to everything or no?
No, I think they're starting like across just a few different titles, but it's coming, you know? It's the beginning of the end, put it that way.
Yeah, I got to agree with that because we've seen resistance at the $3.99 price point a lot. We've seen people drop some titles. Granted, things were never stable to begin with, but it's too big of a price hike. And, I mean, DC already backpedaled when they were putting in the backup features on a number of titles.
Mm.
Took them out and dropped the price back. And now to go back up on certain titles with no additional content, it's going to rub consumers the wrong way.
Yeah.
And any who think, oh, well, I can just wait to get the $15 trade, it's like, well, you know, if it's a $15 trade of six $2.99 issues, do you really think it's still going to be a $15.99 trade of six $3.99 issues?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
No, here, this is a press release they had. Please note the following titles will arrive in stores with an updated cover price of $3.99. Mighty Crusaders, number one. Time Masters, Vanishing Point, number one. And Welcome to Tranquility, One Foot in the Grave, number one.
Okay, now that's slightly different than what I was thinking you were saying. I thought you were saying they were kind of raising their prices. If you look at those titles, Mighty Crusaders, number one, is the team title off of the Red Circle stuff.
Right.
The two titles of which have been seriously tanking and were cut premature. Okay? So that, I think, is almost a stop-loss kind of a move to recoup what they can, because I can't imagine sales are going to be too great on that title.
Okay.
Welcome to Tranquility is part of the Wildstorm line, which in and of itself, the Wildstorm universe tends not to do too great.
Right.
Add to that that Welcome to Tranquility is going to be, as near as I can tell, being a current reader of the Wildstorm universe, either set in the past or kind of out of continuity with what's going on in Authority and Wildcats, which puts it in one of those nebulous does it really matter or not categories. And then what was the third title?
It was Mighty Crusaders and Time Masters.
Time Masters.
That was the last one.
That one's surprising, but given that they had taken Booster Gold, bumped that to $3.99 with the Blue Beetle backup, yanked the Blue Beetle backup, and then dropped to $2.99, and are now starting essentially a second title.
Right.
You know, I gotta wonder if that was really a smart move or not. You know, and again, the question comes down to, should that story be in Time Masters, or should that story have been in Booster Gold? And they wanted to have their cake and eat it, too.
All right.
And more power to them if it works, but this makes me wonder if they're kind of doing what Marvel had been doing for a bit of things that were going to sell through the roof, let's do $3.99, make a couple extra bucks. Things like Big Hero 6 that nobody's going to buy or remember, let's do it $3.99 to justify doing. And these seem to be more at that lower end of the spectrum. But if Marvel and DC really do an across-the-board kind of a price hike to $3.99, that just seems like such a risky move. I mean, again, look at the bottom of the trade list this time around is at 332 units, which is really cool because, you know, we can see kind of those lower moving but steady selling titles.
Right.
But even at rank 200, we're only at 482 units. At rank 100, we're at 1,039 units, which is, again, every other store, every third store on average gets a copy.
Mm-hmm.
And only a handful of things are doing above 3,000, you know, and few things tend to do above the 4,000 or 5,000 units on the trade side. Now, yes, there's the mass market. That'll add in some more sales, et cetera, but really, I think the majority of the audience that is habitual comic book buyers and readers are getting their stuff through Diamond in some way, shape, or form. Certainly not all of it, but I got to question how serious somebody would be about, say, the X-Men if the only way they're getting it is they happen to see a new trade paperback the next time they're at Barnes & Noble or Borders or wherever.
Right.
It just doesn't seem to me to be the core audience. Not to say there's not crossover and that there aren't members of the core audience getting their stuff there at good prices when it makes sense, but I still think the majority of what we'd consider the backbone of the consumer base for comics are going to their stores every Wednesday or getting them online like we are and stuff like that, and going through the Diamond sales channel.
What else?
That's a good question. I don't know. We got the usual recurring sales for, you know, Why the Last Man, Boys, things of that nature. Some reorder activity for that Archie Will You Marry Me storyline.
Mm-hmm.
It did another 452 units.
Hey, I got a question.
Sure.
Let's take a look at what the top-selling Iron Man book was.
Top-selling Iron Man book would be... I don't think he was in Marvel Zombies 4. Even if he was, we will not count that.
No, I'm going by title only. Iron Man versus Whiplash at 48?
Actually, it'd be the Essential Iron Man.
Okay, Essential.
Because it's at rank 31.
Okay, but that's a reorder.
I think it'll be more next month.
Yeah, well, Essential Iron Man number 4 at 31. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, I thought you said 1. Okay. Yeah, 4. Okay.
And that did
Whiplash coming in.
1,875 units. Now, when did the movie open? That opened in May, though, right?
The first weekend in May, yeah.
So this would have predated that by a little bit. It'll be interesting next month to see if we have any kind of a bump on the Iron Man stuff.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
But this is one of those cases where what I think is going to happen is there's no kind of one obvious recipient to benefit from the movie. It's not like Watchmen where you get the trade. Or Sin City, where you get the main Sin City. You know what I mean?
Well, there's that Iron Man 2.0, which was kind of like takes place between both the first movie and the second movie.
And is coming out in monthlies right now. I've got the third issue that I just got.
Yeah.
So it's not in trade.
It's too bad something like that doesn't come directly out as a trade, John. You know, we've talked about movie tie-ins for months and months and months on end.
Well, this is one that I think they should have done as a comic first, but
yeah.
They should have done this 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of having it come out week after week after week right before the movie, have it come out on a month-by-month basis as normal, or still week by week, but such that they could have it out in a hardcover, trade paperback, whatever,
right
now. You know, because really, I think they're going to see that kind of a sales bump, I would imagine, is more likely to be in a Barnes & Noble or a Borders, where your average moviegoer is frankly more likely to be than in a comic shop.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think we're going to see any significant bump in sales from any movie on these numbers.
Right.
You know, obviously there's the 300 and things like that that are clear exceptions. But again, most of those are cases where you've got a single trade paperback, graphic novel, collected edition, whatever, either as the basis for the movie or as the property that's being adapted. 300, Sin City, Watchmen, all come to mind that way. When you start getting X-Men, Iron Man, Batman, Hulk, things of that nature, it's a somebody comes into the store and says, hey, I love the movie, what should I read? Depending who they ask, they could get 15 different answers.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, go pick up this essential. It's cheap. It'll give you some of the early stuff. Hey, here's the latest trade paperback. Here's the current issue, whatever. But we rarely see any kind of a meaningful bump up in sales as a result of the movies, which is too bad.
Right, it is. Right.
But not horribly surprising, given that they tend to be fairly different.
Right.
So, but we should definitely check on that next month, see.
Mm-hmm.
See if maybe this time it happens. I would love nothing more because we could use more readers of comics.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, anything else, or does that pretty much do it for this?
No, I think we're good, unless you want to add anything, yeah.
No? What do you got coming up on your show?
You know, really nothing. I just did my Motor City Con wrap-up. I hope to have a few interviews later on in the summer. I hope to talk to Dan Nadel about his book called Art in Time and his follow-up called Art Out of Time, which are kind of like they have reprints in them, and they talk. He reprints and he has running commentary on different artists and writers of years gone by, and some stuff that you may not know who these guys are, and if you do know who they are, he puts in some pretty obscure stuff. Like, he's got Bill Everett in there, and of course he created the Submariner.
Right.
But he's got some other stuff in there too.
Cool.
You know, so yeah, and old classic stuff. I mean, like Johnny Dynamite from the 1940s that I've never heard of. So really obscure stuff, and it's really cool, you know, and I definitely recommend picking up. And anybody who is a fan of my show would definitely be interested in these classic reprints. And there's not too many classic reprints in them, but it's more of like a, like I said, a you know, an overview of the time and different what came out and who these people are that have been lost in time, really.
Cool. Sounds good.
What about you, man?
Let's see. Obviously, Bob and I will be recording the comic version of this a couple of days. On the next Weekly Comic Spotlight, we're going to record is going to actually air before this episode, so people have heard what I, Bob and I think about Birds of Prey, number one, Heroic Age, Prince of Power, number one, and Sword 24. I'm curious what I think of these, because I haven't read them yet, and I'm really wanting to read The Sword. I've been loving that series you know, since it started, and they did a really interesting twist at the end of the last issue, and this is a double-sized or giant-sized series conclusion, and the Luna Brothers just deliver. So, looking forward to that. Big fan of Birds of Prey and fan of Almadeus Cho. So, should be a good week for us to talk about.
Excellent.
And then, next week, we're going to be talking about Zatanna number one. Bob's a big fan of Zatanna, and hey, I like the character too. Should be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Curious if she can sustain an ongoing series or not. Hopefully she can. Mm-hmm. We're going to do Avengers number one. And PS-238 number 44. We haven't talked about that title in a bit.
Okay.
But then what we're going to do is we're going to do something a little bit different for episode 146 of the Weekly Comic Spotlight. Typically what we do is we go through the list of what Bob and I are getting each week and say, oh, well, how about this, how about this, how about that? Do a Marvel, DC, and another. But what they all have in common is almost that tacit approval of we'd both gotten them.
Mm-hmm.
Bob's going on a trip. Bob's going to be out of town for about 10 days or so. So we're not going to have that week's shipment from DCBS to do, you know, episode 146. So what we decided to do is we're going to pick stuff that we wouldn't normally get. Go pick those up off the rack, read those, review those.
Oh, change it up a bit.
Change it up quite a bit. And it's funny because I was just looking through this evening the list of what's coming out that week. And it's ironic because there have been weeks it's been hard to find something that we're both getting. And this week I'm looking at what's coming out from Marvel and DC. And, I mean, I know I get a little... Bob gets a lot more indie stuff. So I'm going to let him pick the indie this time around because there's a lot I'm not getting.
Mm-hmm.
But on the Marvel and DC side, there's very little coming out that I'm not getting. So it's going to be kind of fun to see how we pick, what we pick, and where we go with that. But, you know, hey, this should be a good chance for us to, you know, read some stuff we don't normally read, maybe get some new stuff on our pull list, or at least, you know, validate we're not reading it for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that. We got the previews teleconference that is going to be on the 11th of June.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much same old on that stuff. Since I'm going to have a little bit of time between podcasting and stuff, I'm hoping to actually maybe get some work done on revamping the number crunching process I'm using for these episodes. I'm having some issues where titles are getting reused, and the industry has changed enough in some small, but to my number crunching process, important ways since I first started putting this stuff together that I really kind of need to do an overhaul. I've needed to do this for a while, but it's kind of hard to do that and keep up on reading and do my day job and, you know, the podcasting and stuff like that.
Right, right.
So if I can take advantage of the Memorial Day weekend and having a little bit of a break from having to record and edit podcasts.
That's what I'm considering too, yeah.
You know, it's fun. I love doing this, but it's one of those where I want to amp up the number crunching and the analysis stuff quite a bit. Recently, I've been reading books like Biology, that's BUY-ology, on kind of the neuroscience really behind what gets people to buy things. You know, they may say one thing, but half of what you buy is almost an automatic reaction at times. And they're geared more, this book is geared more towards, you know, you walk into a supermarket or a Target or Walmart kind of a thing versus a comic store. But it's stuff that I think could be applied towards comics. I'm listening back through Wisdom of Crowds again, the audiobook. I'm reading right now Habit, which is again another, you know, what habits influence how people buy, or how what people buy is influenced by kind of unconscious habits and shortcuts they use just to get through life or whatever. Because think about it. Every day you're getting barraged by just countless ads and other things influencing your thinking and just the decisions you have to make every day. I know I'm a creature of habit. I get ribbed a lot at work for always, for the most part, going to the same place for lunch every day. But I've got food allergies, I want to go grab a quick bite, yeah, I can order online, I can get it, I can be in and out and back to my desk inside of a half hour, pretty easy, you know. I don't have to think about that. And I think there are a lot of things with comic buyers, both at the reader level and the retailer level, that I don't want to say go on autopilot, but kind of sort of do. So I
I think I'm on autopilot, for sure.
Oh yeah, I think a lot of people are, yeah. And that's not a bad thing. Matter of fact, for creators, for publishers, for retailers, that could be a very good thing. Because the minute you start thinking, should I really be buying this title or not? Well, wait a sec. Now you're thinking about it. Now you're analyzing it. That's not always going to be a good thing.
Well, do I really want to start? I mean, if I was going to start with Avengers, you know, hey, that's a great time to jump in. They're doing another number one. But how long am I going to be on the Avengers again? You know, am I in it for the long haul, or when can I quit? And if I do quit, what am I going to do with these old issues in a couple years?
But think about it from this perspective. You'd been getting, hypothetically speaking, Mighty Avengers and enjoying it. You liked it, you kept getting it, boom, now it's over. Now you actually have a decision.
Right.
Do I get Avengers, or do I get Secret Avengers, or do I get the new Avengers, or do I get Avengers Academy or whatever? So they've actually taken what had been a habit for you of just buying Mighty Avengers because you liked it, broken that, and are at risk of being able to replace that with a new one.
Well, and didn't all that start? I mean, they had Avengers and they got the disassembled storyline.
This is not the first time around for this.
No, and they did it Avengers after Heroes Reborn. I mean, you know, wonder if they're going to pick one of those titles and get back on the old numbering system like they were doing with Thor and Hulk and everybody else. And Captain America, you know, and get Avengers back up to whatever it would be, 500, 600, 650,
well,
you know.
I want to get my database such that I've got a cleaner foundation to work on to where I can start tagging titles of this is a relaunch, this is a new artist, new creator. I'd also like to start tagging stuff with who the editors are.
Right.
Because I'm curious if there are some hidden sales patterns that, you know, some editors are potentially better at others on getting their guys to get their work in on time. You know, and if I can get, and this is not something that's going to get done over, you know, the Memorial Day weekend, but I can at least get a good start on it. And if over time I can get to where I can be tagging things with whatever you, I, Bob, the listeners think are relevant aspects or variables to this, I'd like to eventually get the system, and I've talked about this before, to where I can start kind of guessing at how things might do,
mm-hmm.
you know, or at least learning how things are doing. Gee, you know, bumping from 299 to 399. Let's analyze how it's done in the past. Let's see how it might do in the future. But to do that, I need to restructure how I've got stuff. The way I have it now just is not conducive to the kind of analysis I want to be doing. And I've gotten a couple of really good emails and private messages on the forum lately with some good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And now is a great time for people to be submitting that because, you know, I'm kind of taking a step back all the way to the how do I load the data into the database initially step. So I'm kind of running two systems almost concurrently, one that's in a very rudimentary new stage, and then, of course, the one we're still looking at the spreadsheet off of.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can get this to where I've got that cleaner foundation, can dump it into Excel in a better format, start using some pivot tables there, clean up the Excel side of things, and, you know, get it to where we have more data at our fingertips in a more flexible manner, I just think that would be good all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
But it all depends how much spare time I've got. I've got a few things at work that, you know, could eat up some more time and whatnot. So we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I've got going on lately.
Busy.
Yeah. Well, that and, you know, this past week of comics, I got like, good Lord, 55 comics. Were any of these, none of these were trades. Now, take it back.
Right.
Alter Ego, the magazine, came out. Everything else was a comic book. Previous week, I got, and I still have some of these left over, 47 items. A couple of those were free comic book day things, but we'll say about 40 items or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the publishers are pumping out more stuff. I, being a loyal reader, am reading more stuff. So that's eating up some of my time, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all fun. It's good.
Oh, yeah.
So, anything else, sir? I think that'll do it for this episode.
Yes? I think we're good, man. Yeah.
Cool. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. The sales estimates can be found under the sales chart section of the Comic Book Page website. Please email us at themailreport@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening. The views expressed by John Mayo and his guests are their own and may or may not accurately reflect reality in any way, shape, or form. If they differ from your reality, please verify you're in the same space-time continuum before taking any action. If you're a resident of some other space-time continuum, please limit any actions you may take to that alternate reality. All numbers given are estimates and only estimates. To think otherwise would be foolish. The estimates given are for sales from publishers to retailers for items invoiced through Diamond Comics Distribution for the month in question. The Diamond Order Index only goes to 2 decimal places, and therefore there's a margin of error of at least 1/10,000th of the estimate for the key title, which is usually, but not always, Batman. For months in which no issue of Batman shipped, Detective Comics is usually used as the key title. For months in which no issue of Batman or Detective shipped, Batman: The Battle for the Cowl was used instead. The title used as the key title is irrelevant. If you do not understand why or do not believe this, please consider taking a refresher course on basic algebra. Math is fun, but only if you understand it. No information about how many copies may or may not have sold to readers is included, implied, or denied. Sell-through information is not currently available, and we limit our reporting to the available information. If, however, you enjoy fiction, please listen to this preview spotlight for our recommendations of upcoming comic books. Anywhere from all of the units shipped to retailers to none of them could still be sitting on store shelves gathering dust. All reorder activities should be seen only as indications that at least one retailer may have excessive amounts of empty shelf space with dust that needs collecting. The list of the top 300 comic books only contains the top 300 comic books sold to Diamond to retailers for the month in question. More than 300 comic books may have shipped during the month, and obviously not all of them will be included on the list of the top 300 comic books for the month in question. The list of the top 300 graphic novels and collected editions only contains the top 300 graphic novels and collected editions sold through Diamond to the retailers for the month in question. More than 300 graphic novels and collected editions may have shipped during the month, and obviously not all of them will be included on the list of the top 300 graphic novels and collected editions for the month. In the past, the list of the top graphic novels and collected editions contained only 100, 50, 25, or as few as 10 items on the list. This means that historical data about graphic novels and collected editions is increasingly limited the further back in time you look. Fixing this may require time travel, which, as far as we know, has not been invented in the past, present, or any possible or probable future. No visibility into the sales or lack of sales of any comic book, graphic novel, or collected editions that are not listed on the top 300 comic books or top 300 graphic novels and collected edition lists are included, implied, or denied. The data from Diamond only contains data from Diamond. For some strange reason, Diamond doesn't report on sales through competing distributors. No information about the sales or lack of sales of any item sold outside of Diamond Comics' distribution channel is included, implied, or denied. That information is considered to be outside the scope of this report. We limit this report to the available data. If more data becomes available, we'd be happy to include it. If this isn't the data you're looking for, then this isn't the data you're looking for. No amount of whining will change that. If you don't know why this disclaimer's here, then it probably isn't meant for you. This report is inapplicable in the alternate reality of Duluth, Minnesota. Math, logic, and the English language itself seem to work very differently there. I have neither the time nor the interest in engaging in pointless debates in this hypothetical reality. There are no guarantees of accuracy, reliability, completeness, or timeliness of any of the information given in the course of this discussion. We are human, and sometimes we make mistakes. We appreciate your understanding in this area. Any statements that may contain projections or other predictions about future events should be viewed as opinions that are subject to change as new information becomes available. Actual events may unfold in unexpected ways. As Doc Brown once said, the future is what you make of it. If any statements are contradicted or contested, the participants of the discussion may disavow any knowledge of those statements.